Our reading this morning is from John chapter 16, starting at verse 25. This is Jesus speaking. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you that Jesus came and that he has made this sacrifice for us so that we don't have to be alone anymore. Lord, we just lift up Jeff to you as he brings your words to us. I pray you will give us all open hearts and ears to listen and hear what you want to say to us. Father, please have your spirit on Jeff now as he speaks. In your name, amen.
Well, Lisa, thank you for reading so well. And I just want to thank the band too. You've certainly chosen some right songs for us this morning on this particular theme. So thank you, everyone. Good morning. It's good to be with you again. It's a great privilege for me to be able to share God's word with us this morning. It's been a struggle for me, I can tell you that. It's not been easy. It's a challenging theme, this theme that we have before us this morning. Peace in times of trouble. Peace in troubled times. I found it really hard to find God's word in this. How can I preach peace when there is no peace? How can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And I cried out to God. I struggled with this. I'm not alone in this. I know we're all going through this at the moment. But you know, when I saw the images on the TV of that children's home, that children's hospital that had been bombed to smithereens, my heart broke. I felt as if something inside me had died. As I watched these images on my screen, I don't want to go there. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see it anymore. It frightens me. It angers me. I want to smash him for doing such wicked things. Don't you? But I know that's no good. That never wins. That anger, that aggression, that unforgiveness never wins, never works. And I've struggled with this sermon this morning over this last week. When I saw the faces of those children on that bus, those special needs kids and their carers, it was almost too much to bear. What wickedness is this? What viciousness, what evil is this? I struggled. How can we sing the Lord's song in strange land? I cried out to the Lord. I said, abide with me, Lord. Abide with me that I might cope with this. Abide with me is one of our overarching themes for the sessions that we've been having on going deeper with God. Abide with me and you will abide with me and I will abide with you. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. I have a word to bring on Sunday. Lord, come, I pray. And you know, I don't know why I'm always so surprised when God answers prayer. And he threw me a lifeline in my troubled sea. He threw me a lifeline, and it was there all the time in Scripture. It's probably the most famous line in this particular passage. It says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, take heart, for I have overcome the world. This passage comes to us again. We return to that place in the upper room where he's encouraging his disciples that things are going to get bad, but it will get good. It will work out okay in the end. You will get through this. That night before he was taken out in the morning and crucified, he concerns himself with their situation. He's teaching them precious truths. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the replacement. He said, I won't be beside you anymore, but I will be in you. I will be with you. Their strength will no longer come from outside, but from in. The days ahead will be especially tough for those who are associated with Jesus. Yet the outcome will be powerful and world-changing. And then he says this, I have told you these things that you might have peace. I have told you these things, this teaching that he's giving them in the upper room, all the things he's been saying about himself. He's been using analogies, hasn't he? He's been saying, I am the vine and I am the branches. You are the branches. He's been saying, I am the way, the truth and the life. Trust in me. He's been giving them pictures, if you like, of what he can do for them. But now he's going to speak plainly. Now there's not going to be any of that confusion. They're going to know clearly. I've told you these things, that in me you may have peace. That in me you may have peace. What things are these that he's telling them that we might have peace? Well, I thought of three that came out of the passage and touch my heart. Abiding principles, if you like, of the Christian faith. Reoccurring truths that come time and time again. Because in this passage, he's almost summing up all that he's said since chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. Now we're going into a time of prayer next in 17. But he's sort of summing up so of all these recurring themes. And the first one is this: remember, the name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is very powerful. In his name. You know, we pray, when we pray, we always say in Jesus' name. We finish by saying in Jesus' name, because we want this prayer to come in his name, in his authority, in his power. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying in his authority. And I think we tend to forget sometimes just how powerful that authority was in his earthly ministry and how powerful it still is today. We come in great power in Jesus' name. In Colossians 13:17, and whatever you do, whether you in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we find this. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. We come in Jesus' name, in his authority, in his power, in his strength. In Acts chapter 13, we find Peter about to heal. And he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And I've got one more. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. What we need to do is to remember the name of Jesus is powerful. It's strong. And when we pray in his name, miracles can happen. Miracles can happen. They haven't really been praying in his name because he's been with them. But when he goes away from them, they need to remember that they need to pray in his authority. They've been with him. They've watched him raise the dead, heal the sick, cure the blind. They've seen him still the storm on the lake. They've seen him feed the 5,000. They've seen the miracles. They've been watching him. They've been with him. They've been part of it. But now he's going away. And when we pray, we need to pray in him, in his name, in his power. You know, our God is a God of resurrection. It took crucifixion. And it seems that the way of God sometimes is this way. That through crucifixion we find resurrection. Through dying we find a rising. Through giving of ourselves we find a finding of ourselves. It's often the way of God. And I think sometimes it's difficult to understand that. But through the fire and through the flames, you will get through this. We will get through this. They will get through this. It will happen. We need to be strong in him. So often we are weak, aren't we, as human beings? Defeated often by life's problems. I'm sure that all of us this morning have some kind of worry or concern on our hearts. Of course, we have Ukraine. It's a massive thing, isn't it, in our lives at the moment. But each one of us comes with other problems and worries and concerns and anxieties and fears about people in our family maybe, or in our neighborhood or in our church, about situations that are going on in our own lives. What do I do with this? Where do I go with that? When we come in the name of Jesus, we have such a power. Jesus came to confront human hopelessness. And in him, we can confront it too. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can. It doesn't always seem that way. But we can in him, in his name. When Storm Eunice struck us a few weeks ago, I went and stood out on the beach. My wife wasn't very happy with me doing this. It wasn't very bright, but that's me. And I just wanted to feel the wind a bit. I wanted to see what it was like. All the television programs have been telling us not to do this, but don't say that to me. I will go and do it. And I stood on the beach, and it was so powerful, this wind. It was so strong that, yes, it did nearly blow me over. So I went and rushed and stood in the sort of cleft of the rocks that are there on Shoreham Beach and found refuge. Yes, we can find refuge in the Lord from the winds of change and disaster. But something struck me to say, go and stand on the rock. Well, I didn't. Believe me, I didn't. But something told me that in Christ we can stand on the rock. You see, Christ doesn't promise to keep us from the storm. He promises to keep us well in the storm. We can stand on the rock of our salvation. We can stand on that solid ground and face the wind. And it can pound us and pound us, because if we face it in Him, don't you agree that He doesn't often take us from the storm or shelter us away from the storm, but that He stands with us in the storm? Is that your experience? It has certainly been mine in my life, and I thank God every day for that experience that I've had of Him, that in the storm He is with me and He will bring us through. When the storms of life hit us, we so often retreat to the cleft of the rock, but we sometimes need to be encouraged to step out of our comfort zone's place and stand with Him and be sure in Him. Not from the storm, which is quite natural for us to feel we want to get away from it, but in the storm. So the name of Jesus is powerful, and He can move mountains. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, when he's speaking about the armor of God, be strong in the Lord, not away from the Lord, in the Lord, and in His mighty power. Be strong. Take heart. I have overcome the world. The second thought I had was this, that we need to remember that the love of God is unconditional. Now, I know it's pretty simple. We've heard it a million times. I know we know it in our heads, but do we know it in our hearts? The love of God is unconditional. And I think sometimes that's where my peace is stolen from me. And I worry that perhaps it's not quite unconditional enough for me. We sometimes think that. Believe that God loves you and will not forsake you. It's one of the most simple things. God loves you. I remember hearing that Desmond Tutu stood up in front of a crowd of about 12,000 people, and he said, I love you and God loves you. And then he sat down as if he'd finished his sermon. It's a simple but profound truth that God loves us, but it's also one of the hardest things to believe. And I want to just encourage you to believe it, because it brings such peace. Sometimes we don't believe it because we know what we're like. We know we're not right. We know we're not good. We know we dishonor Him by the way we speak sometimes, or the way we think, or the things we do. We know ourselves. Well, that's a good thing, because we can come and say sorry. We can repent of that. But sometimes I feel to myself, surely God can't love me in my grumpiness or in my sin. Or we think that God owes us something. Why is this happening to me? I work in the church. Why are you doing this to me? I've worked for you all my life. I've worked in the children's work. I've worked in the homeless centre. I've been doing this and I've been doing that. I give out the hymn books in the morning. Not that we have hymn books here. I think sometimes we think he owes us something for what we're doing and what we've done. But it's not because we behave. It's because we believe that God loves us. Not because we behave. Verse 27. But because we believe. No, the Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me. And have believed that I came from God. It's because we believe that God loves us. You know, there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. Nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. Unconditionally. Find your peace in that. And know that all is well. All is well. All is well with my soul. Don't just sing it, but believe it. God died to save you. Surely he must love you. And the third thought was this. The plans of God are good. The plans of God are very, very good. I know that you often fear, as I do, that you won't make it. That you won't be able to break it. You won't be able to lift it because it's too heavy a thing. You won't be able to shift it because it's too solid, embedded. Will this darkness ever brighten? Will this heavy load ever lighten? You may think the plans of God are good, not bad. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we know it so well. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. Do you believe the promises of God in Scripture? God is good. His plans are perfect. They're not always our plans. God sometimes takes a while to fulfill his purposes. He knows what he's doing. There is no pit too deep. In fact, I think when you're in a pit, it's a good thing in a way. It helps you to look up. If you're stuck in a rut or in a deep well or a hole, the only place you can go is to look up. No pit too deep, no hole too dark, no burden too heavy, no storm too wild. That he cannot still. When he was on the lake with his disciples, a storm blew up. He was asleep. He was asleep in the boat. They had to wake him up. And sometimes we think that he's got to sleep. He's got to sleep in the boat. Is he in charge? Is he in control? What's going on? Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? Oh, you of little faith, he said to them, didn't he? Oh, you of little faith. And he stood up and he stilled the storm with his voice, with his mighty word. It's not that tragedies will avoid us because we're Christians. We know that only too well, don't we? In fact, they come against us even more sometimes. But that God is in control and can turn every tragedy to triumph. Do you believe this? I pray that God will send you out this morning knowing that this is true. Hard to understand, but we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a strong thing. God is good. Not that tragedy avoids us, but that God is in control and can turn every tragedy to triumph. Goodness will triumph over evil. Light will triumph over darkness. Life will triumph over death, and love will triumph over death, over hatred. Be strong. Take heart, says the Lord. Take heart. I have overcome the world. I received a poem on the internet from a good friend who thought I might be able to use it sometime. It was so right for this morning. Abba, Father, where are you? I've looked and searched the whole week through, but I can't see you anymore. How can there be you and war? Where are you when the bullets fly? When the old men send young men to die? When bombs rip hearts and homes apart? The truth, when truth and justice play no part? When mothers clutch their babies in fear? Hush, my child, for I am here. I am every helping hand, each open home in every land. I am every loving word written, spoken, each prayer heard. I am every gift you send, every comfort, every friend. Look inside your heart. I'm there. I'm the reason that you care. Look, not for me in evil deeds. I am in the poppy seeds. I am love and very near. So hush, my child, for I am here. The name of Jesus is powerful. Call upon it. The love of God is unconditional. Believe it. The plans of God are good. The plans of God are good. Know it. And walk in it. Amen. In order to respond to this morning, the Word of God, whatever you're going through, we've set up some baskets of stones here, hard things that might be going on in your life. I don't know, your problem might be this big or this heavy. There's stones that size there. Maybe you feel that it's right to pick that type of stone up if you want to. Or there might be just a little bit less, perhaps, or something compared. But there's stones here, hard things in your life. And during the worship this morning, we felt it would be right to enable you to respond by coming out, picking up a stone from the basket and leaving it at the cross. So take it from there and go and just place it there. Perhaps say a little prayer in your head. But God knows what you're saying by picking up this hard thing. Whatever it is in your life, whatever thing that is that's stopping you, that barrier perhaps, that hard, tough stuff of our lives, that worry, that fear that you have, come during the worship. You can sing along as you're coming as well. And respond to God if you feel called to. And place this hard stone, this rock, this bad thing that's going on in your life at the foot of the cross. And God will use your prayer to redeem and to renew.